Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Welcome, my dear congregation, to a sanctified space where souls gather to unburden themselves of their deepest trespasses.
Assisting with this all the way to the end of the line, are we?
Wow.
Okay.
It's your Confessions podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually my real voice, though.
Is it? Is that how it normally is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a ghost story.
Is it?
Sort of Derek Nimmo.
Hello.
Crossed with...
Helium.
Alistair Burnett.
A little bit of helium.
Yes.
Topical reference.
It was a topical reference, wasn't it? That's one for all the teenagers.
Anyway, Sister Susie is in from the pub. And
I am indeed.
As ever, Matt is speaking from his guttural position.
Yep.
Where we left him last week. Coming up, we visit the parish notice board and add to the list of shame those confessions which are not suitable for broadcast, which, in essence, is most of them. A double whammy of confessions from the crypt. We take a skinny dip in the pool with Danny's tale, Mother Knows Best, and Jane has a wardrobe malfunction on the water slide in Slip Sliding Away. I think you kind of know what's happening there already.
Yeah.
You'll also get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Lucy's confession, Shout, Shout, Let It All Out, These Are the Things I... So on. Sarah's confession, Parabarai La Bamba.
Parabailar La Bamba.
I said that.
Yeah, very much like that, yeah.
Wow.
First, it's Colin's tale of blood and lies in Walk This Way, Talk This Way. Maybe not.
No.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Colin. I should say it does contain blood and bleeding.
Ooh, lovely.
Just so you know. Simon, brother Matt, in the Diocese of Dastardly Deeds, take you back to the completely different times of 1997. I was married with a young daughter and another due imminently. I was working a junior management role for a well-known high street catalogue shop. It wasn't a particularly well-played job, and so I had a part-time job doing railway track maintenance on Saturday night after my day job had finished, or on the Sunday. I'd been applying for other jobs and had finally got an interview for a job that would pay much more than my two jobs combined. I was desperate to go for the interview. Problem was, the interview was to be held at a central location 2 hours away and on a Saturday. And as anyone who has worked in retail will tell you, getting a Saturday off was about as easy as winning the lottery. You'd heard stories of it happening, but it had never happened to you. Anyway, I was desperate to go for the interview, so I approached my manager and asked for the day off. It was a couple of weeks away, so maybe there was a chance. Well, there wasn't, as it turned out. My manager, a man in his late 30s, early 40s, with the appearance of a much older, henpecked man, told me that no, absolutely not, far too busy. He couldn't spare me. I didn't let it lie, Simon. I persisted. I told him I really, really needed the day off, and it was of the utmost importance that I have it. Why, he asked, why are you so desperate for that day off? Well, Father Simon, I was put on the spot and I needed a convincing story for my request because, as we all know, you don't simply just tell your boss you're going for an interview somewhere else. The story that came to me was something that my wife and I had recently been discussing, and that was a small operation, one that involved a little snip. And one that would mean our little family would remain at that size and my swimmers would no longer swim.
Right, yeah.
I don't know why I chose that story, but as soon as I did, his eyes lit up. Oh, he said, my wife has been pestering me for that. To have that done, I'm a bit reluctant, to be honest. So, yes, you can have the day off and then come back and tell me all about it.
Oh, no.
Victory, Father Simon, I could go to the interview. Well, the day came, the interview came, and it wasn't great, I'm afraid, and I came home heartbroken. Anyway, I went to my other job on Sunday doing the track maintenance. And during the shift, I pulled my back, causing a bit of discomfort. Nothing more, but I walked back into work on Monday morning with a bit of an awkward gait due to my back. And my manager immediately spotted me, pounced like a coiled viper. Oh, how was it? Did it hurt? You're walking ever so funny. Are you in pain? I told him it was perfectly fine, nothing to it. It wasn't painful in the least, but you're walking funny. I was, no, it's just a bit uncomfortable, that's all. Nothing to be worried about. It's fine, I told him. Over the next few days and endless questions, with me reassuring him, he finally relented and agreed to his wife's request and booked himself in for the op. Nothing more was said, Father Simon, until a month later or so, when I had also taken the plunge and booked myself in for the procedure.
Wow.
My wife was now 8 months pregnant, and I thought it would take ages for it to come through. But no, would you believe it, Father Simon, he was booked in for his appointment on the Tuesday, and I was booked in for mine on the Wednesday. I couldn't say anything and just had to remain silent about it at work. After all, I had already had it,
yeah,
as far as he was concerned. No. On the morning of my procedure, I was sat in the room waiting for the get-go when our house phone rang. My wife answered, spoke for a second, and then said, "Hang on, I'll get him. It's your boss." "Hello," I said, "can I help you?" "Can I ask you a question? When you had your procedure, did you, bleed?"
"Oh."
"Father Simon, my stomach dropped." "No, why?" He then proceeded to tell me that he'd been sitting on a chair all night with a towel, unable to stand up.
"Oh, dear."
Well, my face must have been picture of abject horror. "What should I do?" he pleaded. "What should I do?" "Well, I said, you need to go back to the hospital." This is very safe advice.
"Yes."
I told him, I got off the phone, and seeing how horrified I looked, my wife worriedly asked me what was happening. I relayed the conversation to my wife, who laughed so much, I thought she was going into labour. Anyway, I have to say, I went for the appointment, Father Simon, terrified all the way, my wife laughing every time I caught her eye. I have to report that the op went smoothly, no bleeding. Well, not immediately, but alas, karma had other plans. When we got home, I was trying to unlock the door, the spindle snapped, and I tried the other door, but we'd left the key in that door, so my wife was pregnant, she couldn't help. So less than 2 hours after having surgery, I had to climb through a narrow bathroom window with all the finesse of someone...
Dear, oh dear.
...who had recently been...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ouchie.
Stitches. Small bleeding.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, right, okay.
I got in and everything was fixed. I returned to work with everyone pampering my boss with sympathy and care. "Oh, would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Pearson? You sit down, Mr. Pearson. We'll do everything." Well, I had to remain quiet and carry on. When asked why I was walking funny, I said, "Oh, dodgy back. Don't worry about him." But here's the thing. I need forgiveness for telling Porkies to my boss and basically convincing him to have done what he was too scared to have done without me reassuring him it would be fine. It was fine, by the way. No lasting damage. Just a popped stitch. To this day, he does not know that he was only convinced to go that I could go for an ill-fated interview for a job that it turned out I didn't want. But in hopeful anticipation, I need a little bit of forgiveness, please, because I'm feeling ever so bad. I'm walking fine, but I'm feeling bad. Sister Susie, a lot of people will have winced during that, I believe.
Yes, there was definitely some wincing here, Colin. And I think what this shows is it just shows that no good comes from lying, really, does it? You should have just be vague if you're going to lie. Just say that you were really ill, phone in sick. I don't know. Do those things, not condoning that behaviour whatsoever either.
Covered yourself there, Suze. Well done.
Thanks. Yes, yes, yes. But I just think you can get a Saturday off in retail, and maybe the reason why you couldn't get it off meant that the job wasn't for you in the first place. So therefore, maybe you should have just left it to fate. But I think might have deserved the pop stitch. And I don't forgive you because you shouldn't have lied to your boss.
Brother who doesn't care about these things.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the nation crossed its legs every time we said the words pop stitch there, didn't it? Well done, everyone. I'm going to forgive because really he should have just come up with a better lie. That's the story. That's very much the lesson I'm taking from this confession is come up with a better lie. Don't lie about an op that you might end up having. Come up with a different op. And also, didn't he blaze the trail for the boss? You know, the boss didn't want to have the op. And then he saw that one of his employees was having the op. He looked okay, apart from the walking around with the dodgy ding-dong. And so now everything's sorted. And the boss is all sorted as well. So for that reason,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Did you actually say dodgy ding-dong?
As in the, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I realised what you were trying to say.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yeah, yes. What people don't know is that Matt says ding dong a lot.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
If he can't think of the word the person or the thing that's in the back of his mind, he'll just say, "Can you get me the ding dong?
Ding dong? Yeah.
A pint of ding dong. Ding dong on rice, please."
Yep. Ding dong on rice.
Anyway, got this reaction on the people's verdict.
Jerry from Weston-super-Mare says, "Forgiven. I'm with Brother Matt on this one. The greater the lie, the more likely it is to be believed."
Really? Well, that's a very depressing view of human nature.
It is, isn't it? But true.
So let's go to the parish notice board. What five-star reviews do you have, Matt?
Well, we only accept five-star reviews, as we've already said. So Don Five Stars has said, five stars, brilliant, so glad that this is back. Funniest podcast on iTunes. My daughter and I used to listen on the school run when we lived in Tanzania many years ago. We'd absolutely howl with laughter. For some reason, I always seem to agree with the monk with the dirty habit, Brother Matt, and forgive even the most heinous of crimes. Keep going. Well done, Don Five Star. Zach says, five stars with my mum. My mum used to listen to you in the 90s and loved the show so much, she even bought the book and everything.
Very
so
good.
One evening after school, she introduced me to the podcast. I love it, and I go on about it all the time. Would recommend to anyone. Zach, aged 11. And
wow.
HSIOM says, five stars.
Siom.
Siom says, and for that reason, I'm going to give it five stars. We all remember the hole that was left in time, space and iTunes when this podcast disappeared.
Yes.
I have managed to fill the void listening to chatter about books. But nothing compares to this.
Of course.
And
of
the
course.
Addition of the prim and proper sisters, Holly and Susie, just makes it even better. Never leave us again. So, yes, remember, if you want to get a shout out on the pod, the only way to do that is to leave us a five-star review on iTunes.
Five stars.
I should say that Prim and Proper Sister Susie is obviously on this podcast, and Prim and Proper Sister Holly is also in the room listening to all this. And
she is.
Aren't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, there she is. She's actually there and having a great time.
Yeah.
She's ordering some shoes, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Online, something like that. Now, on this podcast and on Greatest Hits Radio, we pride ourselves, obviously, in remaining politically impartial. There are Ofcom guidelines.
Wow, what's about to happen here? Here we go.
Well, Count Binface, the London mayoral candidate that received 24,260 votes just last week, had this to say about our wonderful radio station. Here we go.
In Sigma 9, we are very, very much fans of GHR, Ken Bruce and Simon Mayo, especially, of course, Popmaster. Why haven't you had me on, Ken? There's still time.
So that's London mayoral candidate Count Binface.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
24,000
votes. Can't argue with that.
People said, no, I don't want those other candidates. I want to vote for a guy with a bin on his head.
Yes, that's democracy, everyone.
Bet he's got a confession, though.
Yeah, almost certainly has. Anyway, fancy plugging. I think that must be the first time that I've been mentioned on an electoral platform of any kind.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
So thanks.
More of that.
Thanks, Binface. If you have any thoughts or feelings, if you stood for election and praised us in the past, you can get in touch, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. And remember, we want to send something to the person that loves us the most. And as you said last week, makes us feel most warm. So as we're going through the correspondence, whenever we feel warm, it's a bit like water detection, walking around with those twigs. Whenever the twigs cross...
How's that like being warm?
That's feeling warm. When you're reading something and you go feel all warm and fuzzy.
Okay, but how's that like the sticks?
Because
the sticks don't get warm.
No, but the sticks are a reaction to external events and pressures.
Oh, are they really?
So you're walking along,
ley lines,
twig.
Right, okay.
Oh, the twigs have crossed.
Oh, the twigs have
crossed. That's a reaction.
That must be me feeling warm.
I'm reading an email.
Yeah. Okay.
It's exactly the same principle. Come on, you know, it's all about dust.
Yeah, ley lines.
Anyway, a quick couple of mentions to Michael Fowler, Stephen Hill and Jessica Johnson, who were among those who tweeted the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, up the Enlightenment. Or up with the Enlightenment.
I think it's up with the Enlightenment.
Up with the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
The first person to message up with, not up the Enlightenment, because that would be like two fingers to the Enlightenment.
Really,
and that's precisely the problem. That is a bot.
It is, isn't it?
Getting in,
hacking the system.
Hacking the system.
Wow.
So it was up with the Enlightenment.
Yes.
Not up the Enlightenment.
Up the Enlightenment. Oh, my.
The first person to message correctly was Tash Bandara, and she is on Blue Sky.
On Blue Sky!
Wow.
Which is where the fast-reacting,
clearly
clever, smart, humorous people go.
They must be.
They've added a bunch of new features.
Have they?
Yes.
Really?
Can't remember what they
are. Is one of them talking to other people? No.
Yes.
No. It is. Right.
Don't insult our listener, Tash Bandara.
No, definitely don't.
Keep listening to the end of this podcast to hear this week's revolutionary secret code phrase. Time for a roll call of shame now for the confessions that didn't quite make the cut this week. It's the ones that are obviously not suitable for broadcast. Number one. So this comes from someone who signed it the letter B. So it's just from B.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Getting a dog when you moved to the country was an excellent idea, especially when you had the time and the patience to train the Springer Spaniel pup to be a gun dog. However, it was not okay when your little pup retrieved one of next door's hens rather than the okay. feather-filled canvas sacks you'd been practicing with. The fact that after 300 attempts to release the affectionately named little chicken, which was still alive.
Still alive?
Yes.
Wow.
Was simply a miracle, but by the time you raced it to the vets, that was no longer the case.
Yeah. Oh.
What makes it even worse is that you slipped little chicken into your mother-in-law's rubbish bin and convinced your next-door neighbour that a much-loved hen must have been taken by a hungry fox to feed its starving cubs.
Well, circle of life there, really, isn't it?
I think so.
Also, I'm gonna suggest that they didn't actually go to the vets. I mean, I know if it were me, I'd go down to the bottom of the street. In the car, maybe go to Asda for 20 minutes and then come back and say, I'm sorry, chicken's dead, didn't make it, really sorry, tried our best, used the defib, but it didn't work.
Also, I have six foxes in my garden and...
Six, is it now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the one had five cubs.
Mini foxes, yeah.
Yeah. Cubs.
Cubs, yeah.
And they were very small and cute, and then guess what? They grew up to be vermin.
Oh, they are vermin. So any tips on that?
Well, apparently lion poo is very useful. It's quite difficult
to get
a hold of. Or blokes weeing.
Yeah, I mean...
Also,
yeah.
But the RSPCA, so you can't... Obviously, we had no intention of harming them or damaging where they live
down,
or anything.
No.
But you are allowed to wee on them.
We can wee in your own garden. No,
on their house.
On the house. I mean, if you can get them to stand still long enough, I suppose.
You know what I mean.
They keep moving. Oh, no. Never mind.
Practice your aim.
Yes.
What is it about? What's wrong with women? It sounds offensive and disrespectful.
It does sound wrong, doesn't
What's
it?
Wrong with women's wee?
Women's wee? Oh, is it only men's wee? Is that the...
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Just the blokes have to go out and wee.
Okay.
It's got to be a hormone thing. Or maybe it's just because it's easier for a man to do it.
That's true.
Well, you can always use a jug.
I was hoping that's where we were going.
Yes.
Wow. So soon down this route.
Anyway, so thank you for that, but that wasn't going to get on air.
No.
Also, we had an email from the Toilet Crasher. Simply by name alone, you might be able to work out why this confession didn't make it out of the particular gates. But while on holiday and relaxing by the pool, you needed to excuse yourself to deal with a nuclear fallout because your bodily functions do not like change. Mm. When you reached your room, you noticed the cleaning team were in and you didn't need to use your key, so that was handy.
What?
However, it was only after, because the door was already open.
But the cleaning team were in?
Yes, that's right.
So they went in while the cleaners were in the loo?
The cleaners were in there. We're cleaning the room.
They were cleaning the room and you went into the loo?
Yeah.
It's his
Well, I think it was a desperate situation.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
However, it was only after you did the business and had some problems with the flush, you noticed a toddler's Disney toothbrush near the sink that didn't belong to any of your family and it wasn't actually your room.
No. Oh, dear.
There are lots of... that's never going to get on, is it?
Well, I mean, I think that sounds okay, doesn't it?
No.
I mean, you know, obviously, circle of life.
Just by saying circle of life.
Doesn't apply.
Doesn't make it okay.
No. Anyway, so let's concentrate on the confessions that did make the cut. With a bonus confession from the crypt, never before heard on this podcast, this is Jane's tale, Slip Sliding Away.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Jane, thank you for this, Father Simon. PG certificate?
Oh, good.
Yeah, PG.
I mean, only slightly.
Yeah.
Father Simon, firstly, I should start this by saying this is not the usual confession. It's more, should I forgive those who have trespassed against me?
Oh, I do like those.
Nice.
Yeah, you see, that's a different, has a slightly different spin. There you go. The incident took place many years ago in Gran Canaria. I was on holiday with my husband, my two children, my best friends, and their two children. I don't know if you've been to Gran Canaria, but it is a fine place for a family holiday.
While we were there, we decided to visit a water park. Now, I'm not a great swimmer, but the children were excited about going, as were the other adults, so I was happy to tag along. When I was a kid, we were lucky to have a blow-up paddling pool for water fun, or occasionally a water fight with a hose and some plastic bags on the top of a multi-story car park. But that's another story. Different times, Father yes. Simon.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. We settled ourselves close to the children's pools, plural, and after a while, the adults became restless. Books had been glanced at, music had been listened to, the crossword had been done. Now what? Well, everyone wanted to explore, so I volunteered to watch the children, so my husband and our friends could go and make the most of the many slides in the pools. I didn't want to go anyway, so this was the perfect way to earn extra parenting points.
Nice.
Not that I needed any, because I'm the mother.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was a very knowing yuck. Sometime later, they returned full of fabulously exciting tales of the fun that they had had. There were so many rides. There was a ride called the Splash-O-Rama, Pico de Agua. How would you say that in Spanish?
Pico de Agua.
Pico de Agua.
Pico de Agua.
What does that mean?
Say it really quick.
It's a very, very complex word. Very
well, agua is water.
Yes, correct. So and pico is a very complex word.
There was also one called a super soaker.
There! It means being soaked in a super way.
They were all amazing, apparently. And then they said that there was a ride that I would be okay going on, as there was no plunge pool at the end. Now, I agreed to go and have a look, because the slide is one thing, but the plunge pool makes me feel very unhealthy, all those germs. And one look at it and you can tell that, you know...
The
kids could have got out at least beforehand.
Oh, lovely.
Also, your head goes underwater in a plunge pool.
That's right. Anyway, Jane didn't want any of that. Well, the slide was huge, but true to their word, there was no plunge pool at the end. It was just water running down, and then at the end, you slowed down and you climbed out. I watched other people going down. It did indeed look innocent enough. I should have been alerted, really, by the slide's name, which was... Kamikaze. There's the clue.
No.
But not wanting to look a complete wimp in front of the children and my friends, I agreed to go on. The instructions, a big letter said, every meter a new adventure. 68 meters if you're brave enough. Push yourself off at the start and get down first. Well, I wanted to be first, obviously. The children were positioned at the bottom of the slide, and I climbed the stairs with my husband and my dear friends, my supportive friends.
Yeah.
They were still reassuring me that all would be well. They would be going down with me as there were four chutes side by side. We all took our position. I was instructed to lie down, cross my hands across my chest, and just go. Husband to my left, two best friends, who I could always rely on,
yes.
to my right.
Okay.
This, of course, is the, oh heavens, what am I about to do moment.
Yep.
Which everyone has at the top of one of those slides. But anyway, says Jenny, it was really too late to back off now. Ready, steady, go. Well, off I went at a ridiculous speed, water shooting in all directions. I felt like I was experiencing colonic irrigation, Father
Lovely.
Simon.
Great.
68 meters of the most unusual pressures, let me say. I tried to hold my nose, but then realized that my bikini was not staying in place.
I should
probably have mentioned that I was wearing my old bikini and not my glamorous new one, which would have stayed on. So maybe my old one was a little worn and feeble where it should have been strong.
Oh, dear.
I didn't know whether to protect my dignity or to try and stop myself drowning. So obviously not drowning seemed the option.
Yeah,
my top flew away. I managed to grab it as I shot down the chute at 100,000 miles an hour. Slight exaggeration.
Yep.
I remember thinking, I'll say no to the official photograph.
They always take them.
The only saving grace was the kamikaze didn't last long, but at the bottom of the slide, after reapplying my top and pulling my bikini bottoms back into the place as best I could,
Lord.
I turned to look for my husband and friends to discover they were all sitting at the top of the slide, laughing hysterically. Apparently, it's notorious for its swimwear malfunctions, like mine, and they let me have mine. So I ask you, should I forgive? That's my question, because they knew what was going to happen and they set me up good and proper. That's what I'm asking, Sister Susie.
Well, I feel like if you were going to a water park, you should have probably wore some supportive
stockings.
Yes, supportive stockings. No, supportive swimwear, because you know what's going to happen.
Yes.
You need to be, you know, ready for it. So I kind of feel like she should take some responsibility, but they were a bit mean, so I don't think she should forgive.
Brother Matthew from the other gutter.
So, yes, it's called kamikaze. Don't get on it if you're just wearing a bikini. That's certainly my life lesson.
Yes.
So I'm going to forgive here. You know, all water feeling when you're dancing on the sealant. Oh, yes. Taking us back to those glorious days earlier this week. So I'm going to forgive.
That was presumably a drive time drama that you were.
Well, yeah, so good. Right.
Ted dancing on the sealant.
That's the one.
Dancing on the sealant. Oh, classic.
No wonder that went on.
Yeah.
For a while. Anyway, so thanks very much. But by the way, we need to mention the fact there is a new nickname for Matt. He has been the brother from another gutter.
Yes.
But the other morning, in the wee small hours, you were out walking.
I was. I went walking with my wife in the park, and I was wearing shorts, and I have hairy legs. I think this is. I'm thinking that's the reason why what happened. Anyway, we're walking in the park very early in the morning, and this Italian man approaches us. And says to my wife, "Oh, you'll be all right. You're with Gorilla Man." And I...
makes you sound like a superhero.
It was. And it sort of took us two steps. And so I said, "Did he just call me Gorilla Man?"
Yes.
And yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And I couldn't work it out. So I had hairy legs and I hadn't had a shave, like chin shave. Or indeed any shave.
Obviously,
that's
a bit of a
morning.
State. I'm surprised your wife was walking with you.
Yes, clearly. She found it hilarious. But Gorilla. Yeah, you'll be all right. You're with Gorilla Man.
Gorilla Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Have to say in an Italian accent, though.
Batman, Superman, and Gorilla Man.
Can we call you Gorilla Man?
In future?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Anyway, still to come on this here Confessions podcast, nudity in the swimming pool, inevitably, in Danny's tale from the crypt, and Lucy's lie has deathly consequences in Shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. But not before Sarah's confession. Parabalalabama.
What?
Parabalalabama.
They're waiting for me to finish and then you say it. Parabalalabama.
Parabalalabama.
Yeah, almost.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Before we go into today's confession, if you speak Spanish...
Oh, yes.
Which I know you do.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
This might appear slightly more coarse...
Oh, really?
...than normal.
Oh, excellent.
But the rest of us can just kind of muddle along through.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, one Spanish confession has led to another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sarah says, Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly, and the frolicsome foursome of forgiveness. That doesn't quite work if there are only three of you, but that's the way she's signing it off. You may decide to read out this confession. You might not. It dates back to the early 70s. Matt will probably enjoy it, so here goes.
Okay.
When I was 16, I spent... And again, if you're a sensitive Spanish person who doesn't like unnecessary coarseness... come back in a minute. When I was 16, I spent a year living with my friend Andrea, also 16, and her mother Michelle in Seville. Both Michelle and Andrea were English, but Andrea was fluent in Spanish, having spent her life in Spain and attended Spanish schools. My Spanish was coming on pretty well, although not up to her standard. Michelle, however, had never really progressed with the language, although she would always gamely have a go, frequently getting words wrong, but generally able to make herself understood with her sweet nature and lovely smile.
Ah.
Exactly. We lived in a block of flats. Inside the main entrance was a desk at which a porter sat and oversaw the comings and goings, as was the practice at that time. His name was Antonio. He was probably in his 60s, a sweet, gentle, and polite man. Imagine being that old. We, in turn, would always treat him with respect and politeness and pass pleasantries with him each time we came in or left the building. We really liked Antonio and his formal, reassuring presence. Well, despite his best efforts, as he only worked during the day, there had been a minor break-in in one of the flats on our floor one night, and Michelle was rather spooked and scared by this. The following day, as we left, she attempted to tell Antonio that she was very frightened. That's what she wanted to say.
Okay.
I am very frightened. Rather than asking one of us to explain this to him, she waded straight in. But instead of saying, I'm very frightened, which should be, tengo mucho miedo.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
That is right, yes, yeah, yeah.
Tengo mucho miedo. She actually said, just spit it out, okay. Tengo mucho miedo.
Oh, dear.
When she saw the horrified expression on poor Antonio's face, she decided to press the point and escalate her concern by adding the word tanta. What does that mean?
So much.
So much. Tengo
so
tanta.
Much yeah.
Now, I'm sure that Matt will translate this, but fundamentally, poor bemused Antonio could not understand why this hitherto polite English lady was suddenly telling him that she was very constipated.
Yes.
Although, okay. Estoy constipada would also have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
So my confession is that Andrea and I, with our 16-year-old sense of humour, found the whole thing so astoundingly and impossibly funny that we were rendered speechless as tears of laughter streamed down our faces. To our credit, perhaps, we exited the building at speed before Antonio could see us and thus spared him from further embarrassment. Forgiveness is sought for Michelle, to whom we did explain later and who was mortified at what she'd said but could never find a way to put it right. But most of all, for dear old Antonio, who, from then on, seemed to find something that needed urgent attention
yes.
in the store cupboard or under his desk whenever he saw us. Over to you.
I bet he did.
Okay, all right. Well, let's see where we go with this. Poor Antonio, a barrage of filth. But actually, she wanted to say she was scared. She actually said she was constipated.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that effect? Sister Susie.
I do feel for Antonio here because obviously he was quite shocked. However, what I think is the important part is she tried really hard. Her intentions were there and they were good intentions. She wasn't meaning to tell him that she was constipated. And for that reason, I'm feeling in a good mood. So okay. I'm going to forgive her.
Tengo mucho miedo. Miedo.
Miedo.
That's the one miedo. To do. You go yes. with the O, not the A.
Yeah, correct.
Brother Spanish.
Yes, I mean, come on. It was so close, wasn't it? It was so close. And obviously, you know, you don't want to be saying that to your doorman. And no, Daddy, why are you telling me this? Probably not my problem, really. I just opened the doors. Yes, definitely going to forgive because, you know, you've got to try, haven't you? You're over there. Better that than just shouting yes. at them in English.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Lucy, Father Simon and the Holy Collective. My confession, albeit fairly recently, still haunts me. In the autumn of 2022, different times,
mm-hmm.
I moved to Bristol for university studies, just down your way, Suze.
Yes.
It was a chance for me to study what I loved, be out of my family house and have a fresh start. Merely a week into my new life, the events organisation officer arrived at my accommodation and told us all about the freshers' fair at the student union. Soon enough, I was signing up to clubs I never went to just to get a free pen. And, of course, which most people do anything for
yeah,
a free
yeah,
pen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sipping a hideously overpriced alcoholic beverage, a man approached me. Let's call him John. John was the head of the computing club, had glasses which steamed up when he talked, and wore a lamb's wool jumper in the summer, which was obviously too small for him. Hello, would you like to sign up? Says John, shouting and thrusting a clipboard in my face. I can't explain the answer that came out of my mouth, Father Simon. Was it the alcohol? Did I have pity on the poor lad? Was I appeasing some childlike glee for computers that I never knew I had? Why, yes, thank you, young sir, I replied and signed my name. I regretted it as soon as I'd done it. John walked away and I scolded myself. There was no way I was actually going to go to John's computer club, but I felt awful signing up regardless. I never did turn up to a single meeting at the computer club, and being on a campus with over 2,000 students, I never saw John either. Until the night that I did, which was Halloween night.
Ah.
It was my first Halloween, not sitting in my bedroom as my parents opened the front door to children in scary costumes, so I decided I was going to go to a local nightclub. Myself and my friend, we'll call her Maeve, got dressed up and headed over into town. As the night went on, Maeve had met another fellow student, so I was acting as her wingwoman from afar. And as my bed was calling my name, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around and I saw him. It was John, dressed as a pizza.
Oh.
Obviously for Halloween.
Oh, Halloween.
With the most disappointed look on his face, it made my blood run cold. Where have you been? He shouted. You haven't been to a single meeting, not one. You missed all of them. We've had interesting meetings, speakers, and days out, and group discussions.
Group discussions?
I mean, there's nothing more exciting than a group discussion at Computer Club. Now, Father Simon and the Holy Collective, I do not endorse my behaviour, which I'm about to tell you about, but he took me so by surprise, he was so demanding that I shouted back, it's because I haven't come because my mother died.
Oh, no.
This was clearly devastating for John to learn, and to learn it at full volume. He was crestfallen and his mouth dropped open. My mother is, of course, alive and well.
Okay.
But before John could answer, I grabbed Maeve and we left the nightclub. Next term, our usual building was relocated to the same one that John was in. Not sure how you relocate a building, but anyway. Yeah. I had to endure months of pity faces from him and mumbled sympathies, which only ate at my guilt further. I'm seeking forgiveness as I would like to formally apologise to John, the computing club, everyone who shouts, and to my mother for spewing these lies. I lie awake at night going over the whole scenario in my head and just cringing. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. Well, I suspect we probably can, actually, because on the spur of the moment, and you've had a couple of lager shandies, you have to come up with a reason. John was convinced. Let's see what Sister Susie is going to be saying. I suspect she's unimpressed.
Oh, well, Lucy, I was with you for so long of that because, you know, who hasn't enthusiastically signed up to too many things when they've just been, you know, just too excited?
Group discussions.
Yes, you miss them. And I was like, well, of course you're not going to go to computer club. Who wants to go to computer club? I'm sure there's lots of people out there. But I don't think I can forgive you. As much as you just blurted it out, you should have come clean at some point and told him that you just didn't want to go to computer club. Just be honest.
Yes.
And so I can't forgive you.
Okay, that's what I thought you might have said, but let's see what the brother with no morals has to think
about. I'm definitely going to forgive, and here is why.
Yes.
Number one, we all agree that in these situations, you always sign up for far too many clubs and societies. You've no intention of going. And by the way, all those clubs and societies know that. They get your subs to start off with, but they know you're never going to turn up. Also, I strongly suspect John was trying it on with Lucy, and it was his opening line of, you've not been to any of our meetings.
Come out with me.
Yeah, exactly. And I've come here dressed as a pizza. And
that's always a winning move.
Yeah, definitely not a winning move from John. So, you know, I'm going to forgive because, I mean, obviously we'd rather that Lucy hadn't gone down the dead mother route. But,
yes.
You know,
yes.
She committed. So yes, forgiven.
Also, never trust a man who resorts to fancy dress at the first possible opportunity.
Fancy dress.
And on Halloween, why dress as a pizza?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was all that was available. And of course, remember, the first rule of computer club is don't go to computer club.
Oh. What's the second rule of computer club?
Don't go to computer
club. Yes!
And so on.
Yeah.
So let's ease ourselves now into our crypt and dust off an old confession. This request comes from Deanna. Hi, everyone. Hi, Deanna. I'm a newcomer to confessions, but it's become my post-work laugh. I'd like to request a confession from the crypt where the man tricked his girlfriend's parents into going to his local pool at the time when there was a costumes optional adult swimming slot. If it helps further, it's also the confession where Matt reveals he never uses fabric conditioner.
Oh, quite right.
And the conversation derails after that. Thank you, says Deanna. Well, featuring Sister Holly, who... all right, Sister Holly?
Now good.
Who now spends her time in the corner of the studio saying things like that.
Off mic, yeah.
And successfully converted from a compact disc from a swanky new WAV format, here's Danny's confession, Mother Knows Best.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Danny. Well, that's what I'm calling him anyway. Thank you, Danny. About 20 years ago, Father Simon, my then girlfriend and I moved into our first new home. It was only a two-up, two-down rental, but we loved it. We rubbed along really well back in the day, but it was always ruined by one thing. A visit from the in-laws. My girlfriend's parents, let's call them Kevin and Pat, really took a dislike to me. I wasn't good enough for their beloved daughter. I didn't like them much either, to be perfectly honest, so I was quite relaxed about the fact that they didn't like me. Kevin was a retired police officer with a really painful knuckle-crunching handshake, but I never let on that it really hurt. Pat was an ultra-fussy, passive-aggressive type who would say things like, "Oh, you don't heat up your plates before serving food? That's new." And, "What brand of fabric conditioner are you using now?" Knowing perfectly well we didn't use any, which is why they always brought their own towels when they came to stay.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, back to our new house and our new neighbourhood. The best thing was our local swimming pool. A very grand Victorian building, Father Simon, the type with changing cubicles around the side of the pool. I loved swimming. So after work on Friday, I made my first visit to what I was told was an adult swim session. I arrived a few minutes early and joined a large and very friendly group waiting outside. When we were let in, we grabbed a basket for our clothes and went into our separate cubicles. Connoisseurs of this feature will be ahead of me. Trunks on and ready to go, I pull back the curtain on my cubicle pretty much the same time as everyone else. It was then I noticed something to my absolute horror. All the other swimmers were totally naked.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
A cheerful and friendly old naked man in his 70s heartily shook my hand and welcomed me to a weekly costumes optional swimming session where newcomers were most welcome. He told me this was one of the most popular naturist events in the area.
Right.
And I was welcome to join many more of their activities, including walking, rock climbing. Look at the view from here. And even bread baking.
What?
Okay.
Well, Father Simon, I was in total shock. I wanted out. So I jumped into the water, did my fastest ever time, completed 20 lengths, made a swift exit. So to my confession. My aforementioned in-laws, Kevin and Pat, were due for a visit, and I was dreading it. Now, they were both very active in their local church group and always organising activities to keep the fellow pensioners healthy and fit. From button collecting, to bowling, they did it all. At this one time, they'd both started a swimming group, and they loved it. In fact, they became avid swimmers. So I came up with the great idea that as soon as they arrived at ours on the Friday evening, they should pop along to our local pool to what I had heard was a very popular adult session. I obviously withheld the finer details, and Kevin and Pat heartily agreed it would be a fine idea after what was a tortuous drive north. So once they unloaded their bags, they set off with their costumes rolled tightly into their towels like true professionals. "You won't be needing those," I laughed to myself and sat back and waited. Oh, Father Simon, what can I say? Not long after their car screeched to a stop outside my house, Kevin carefully ushering Pat into my front room, both looking utterly perplexed. She was ashen-faced and seemed to be having a fit of the vapours. An old expression,
yes.
I think we know what it means. I'll explain it to Holly later.
Thank you.
Kevin looked deeply traumatised, saying he'd never seen anything like it in his whole life.
Well.
And said he had a good mind to call the police.
Right.
I was really enjoying their meltdown. The sight of so much nakedness had really set them off, and it really took them quite a time to calm down. Kevin said it was made worse by the fact that Pat had only recently had her cataracts done. Sometimes you don't want perfect vision, Father Simon. Anyway, they both agreed they must never speak of this to anyone ever. Much to my utter joy, they decided to go home early the next day, saying something about Kevin needing his beta blockers. I didn't care, I was just pleased to see them go. Anyway, Father Simon, I seek forgiveness for a cruel trick to play to two fine, upstanding members of the community, but they were really annoying in-laws. Luckily, they stopped visiting us after that.
Oh, right.
So all was not lost. Anyway, forgive and forget, Danny.
Anyway, thank you, Father Simon, and keep up the forgiveness. Sister Holly goes first.
So is Danny still with this girlfriend to this day?
Well,
or
I don't know.
Was this the start of the end?
I don't know.
I mean, it's really interesting. I do think, though, you playing this cruel trick on your in-laws is just another reason for them to dislike you, really. I know they weren't that great, but maybe it's you. Have you ever thought about that, Danny? Maybe you're the problem.
Passive-aggressive people are very annoying, aren't they?
Yeah, but the thing is, hating your in-laws, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, it's so mainstream. It's a really mainstream opinion to have. Yeah. It's not original. And so for that reason, I'm not forgiving you. Shouldn't have sent them to the swimming pool with all the naked people. Of course they're going to hate it.
Right, so it's because it's mainstream?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Brother from another country.
I mean, I love that because it's just very funny, isn't it? I mean, and also it's important to say that the clothing was optional, so you know they were quite well within their rights to keep their clothing on, although they weren't too keen on seeing what else was on offer. I think on reflection, you know, people who bring their own towels, what's that about? No, you can't have people staying in your house if they insist on bringing their own towels.
Right, but also, who doesn't use fabric conditioner?
Well, I don't use fabric conditioner.
Really?
No.
There's no need
for it. Oh, did you get me started on the fabric conditioner?
Towels are all rough.
No, that's why it's supposed to be.
I didn't know
how you're supposed to have your towels. It's a bit rough, just to remind you of living in the jungle. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
That's why you're Gorilla Man.
Yes, I've realised that.
In the jungle.
With my very,
your cardboard towels.
Coarse towels, yes.
There's been a lot of coarseness.
There has been quite a lot of it, hasn't there?
On this podcast. Also some English coarseness, some British coarseness, and some Spanish coarseness.
Yes, it's all around the globe, isn't it? Well,
so it's kind of balanced in some way. Anyway, if you have a classic confession you would like to hear again, like Deanna did, thank you very much for that suggestion. Just let us know. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And it has to be, it's Gorilla Man.
It's Gorilla Man, and you have to write it in an Italian accent.
Italian accent, please.
Gorilla Man. That's very good. If you've listened this far, you can tweet that phrase on Twitter, where I'm Simon Mayo, and you can go on Threads, where I'm Mr. Simon Mayo, because I had to be. I can't remember why.
Okay, yeah.
Also, the coolest place to be is, of course, Blue Sky.
Of course it is, yeah. You and Tasha.
The coolest people.
Oh, the coolest people
Just
are all
the
there.
Coolest people. And knock on doors, tell everyone that the Confessions podcast is back, and spread the word, and then give us some splendid reviews and all that kind of stuff. Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Farewell.
It was very kind of formal.
It was very, wasn't it?
Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
I'm leaving you. Goodbye. thank you for listening. There'll be another Confessions podcast with you next week. Oh, yeah. Also, Sister Holly says goodbye from the corner.
Goodbye.
There you go.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.